This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
WGR Sports Radio 550. It's time to take a look inside high school sports. Now, here's your host, Tony Caligiuri.
Inside High School Sports is brought to you by Minio and Sapio Italian Sausage. Taste the difference quality makes.
Good morning and welcome to Inside High School Sports. I'm your host, Tony Caligiuri, along with Tom Prince, Francis Beck from WNY Athletics, and our resident troublemaker, Roger Weiss.
Morning, y'all.
Oh, he gets that out right off the bat.
Well, I got chided last week. DK was all over me. You were all over me. I was polite and waited. Well, your politeness, you just exhausted my politeness.
Now you know why we call him our resident troublemaker.
DK is nodding his head.
He's loving
agreement.
It. Good. Good. I want it right away.
Moaning
y'all trumps everything, right, DK?
Thank you. Now we can get the show started. Never mind with everything else. We need that morning, y'all. So how you guys doing?
Good.
You survived Valentine's Day okay?
Like I said, I was in Vegas, so it was easy Valentine's Day.
I really went all out and took Diana out for I guess you'd call it brunch. It's sometime between breakfast and lunch. I went all out, paid, spared no expenses, took my 20% discount at Denny's and took her to Denny's.
I thought he was going to say he got her a happy meal.
No.
Come on, babe. You're special. It's all on me today.
Anthony,
you pick your choice of Happy Meal.
Forget about the $5.99. Are you out of your mind? And I think you were. We went to Denny's a few weeks ago. I don't know where we went, but anyway, they got a new omelet.
Oh, yeah.
Sausage, bacon, and they top it off with a sunny side up egg. It's called a sunny omelet. It is.
We all go, and I go, did you guys see that new omelet right there? And they go, yeah, I got the whole table ended up where, besides you.
And then, of course, Francis, the one let us down. He got a burger.
All right, Francis.
Lunch is way more important than breakfast.
Yeah, I agree. Matter of fact, during the break, I'm going to tell you about a burger I had during the week. A little inside stuff here. Roger's going to like this one. But all right, guys. Well, we're at the point of the year. Well, first, let's do news and notes. And then what we're going to do is kind of get into everything, I guess, since we are in the postseason for some sports and boys and girls basketball seeding meeting going on.
I'm waiting for text because we got about four coin flips for the girls and probably half a dozen coin flips for the boys. Other than that, I have what would probably be the matchups.
Okay, so we're going to get into that during this show today. In fact, I saw Brian Baker tweet out a picture. He had his Timbits ready for the meeting. He comes prepared. All right, guys, news and notes. Mr. Roger Weiss, you first.
I just want to give a shout. I don't know when we're going to talk about boys hockey. Francis is going to give a report on there, but I want to give a shout-out to John Locke, who's one of the coaches at Clarence. We had an emergency yesterday. Some guy went down my street about 50 miles an hour, got too close, and hit my mailbox post, and literally the rivets from the bottom of the mailbox for the rest of the thing separated that. That's how fast he was. I heard this noise, and what was that? I look out, I see nothing. And then all of a sudden, I see my mailbox halfway over to my next-door neighbor. Well, John Locke, he came to the house today because he does this mailbox installation.
Mm-hmm.
Bailed us out of a big, because Diana would have to be standing out there waiting for the mailman to come.
Wow.
So I'll give a shout to them. I believe they're playing at 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Did the car even stop to acknowledge that he did it, or he just kept going?
Would you stop if you did something like that?
I would.
Well, you're probably in the minority, Anthony. Again, I just heard the noise. And I don't know what it was that had the guy veer it that close because I saw tire tracks on my front lawn.
Wow.
So, anyway, normally this guy is backed up doing a thing. And Diana says, well, we're in kind of a crunch. And so he came out 8 o'clock this morning, installed the new mailbox, and we're quite pleased with it. And then, of course, my wife starts talking. He asked something about kids playing sports and all that, and one thing led to another. And lo and behold, and he's playing at 2 o'clock this afternoon, I assume, at the Northtown
Center? At the Harbor Center.
Harbor Center, yeah. I'm sorry.
Nice, so, nice.
The only other thing I have, Will South won their rematch last night, the girls against O'Hara, something like 73-58. And during that game, Angel Parker went over 1,000 points. So congratulations to her.
Outstanding.
She's going to Marist?
I'm not sure. I thought it was Marist.
It's the conference that Canisius is in. I know that. I believe Marist is in that conference. These senior moments are becoming senior hours.
Well, while you wait for that, I'm going to give a shout-out to Mike Greenberg. I ran into him during the week, a longtime official in Western New York. We were just going back and forth with some funny basketball stories, and he was telling me on one game he's doing, somebody hands him a cell phone and said, here, you missed 4 calls in the first half. I thought that was hysterical. I got to have him on, and just to bring him on to tell some of the stories that go on behind the scenes of high school basketball games and the stuff that the referees endure. It's pretty funny. We have some funny coaches in Western New York. So maybe during the summertime I'll have Mike come on and tell some of those stories. I was cracking up laughing for almost an hour.
We could retell the story about Archie O'Brien, right?
Yeah.
Archie O'Brien.
He has some really good ones.
Finally, Anthony, I just want to say a quick shout. Congratulations. Career win number 436 last night for Gary Domshalski, his final regular season. They beat crosstown rival Hamburg at Hamburg High School. I was at that game.
And you do want to talk about one of the class acts in Western New York high school sports. Met Gary, I would want to say, around 96. 97, right around that area, doing the Lancaster games, and on Frontier played at Lancaster.
Was it that long ago? I know. Yeah. I remember I was like 04 and all that. I remember I did a game with you, and they came in there, and I had known him before that because his brother-in-law I went to high school with.
So. Oh, he's just such a nice guy, and anything I needed, he was always there for me. So, shout out to Gary. Congratulations.
A lot of the old-time players came back.
I saw a nice picture of that.
Yes, and was it Wednesday night? It was so many games this week. Yeah, Thursday I was at Iroquois, so Wednesday night at Frontier High School.
He's going to be missed. He really is. Yeah. It's going to be hard to replace him. Best of luck, Gary, in what you're going to do afterwards, and enjoy life.
Oh, I'm sure he will.
Francis.
All right, so we have a couple of events going on today, big sectional events. Rifle championships are going on right now at Kenmore East. Track and field team championships are at Houghton. The first ever state girls wrestling meet is going on right now. It actually will be starting in just a few moments at Niagara Community College. So big events going on there. We had another 1,000 point score this week, Lois Garlow of the Mount, the big lacrosse player there. She hits 1,000. And then we have two commitments from a Connolly Cup finalist from this year, Aaron Chase, who lit it up for Star Point this year. He will be going to the University of Buffalo to continue his football career.
Along with one of his teammates.
Yeah, with Max Bowden, I believe.
Right, and a former teammate from, was it a year ago or 2 years ago, that played prep football in Canada. And now he's going to UB as well. So.
Is it Ahmed? Taji Ahmed?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he's going, and then we have Aaron Waller, the running back from Cleveland Hill. He is going to Mountain Union.
You hear what Joey Licata said about Chase? Somebody's, asking him or comparing him, and he said he's light years ahead of me when I went in. That's saying a lot because Joe was legit right out of high school, and that's high praise for Chase. So congratulations to him, and best of luck. How about this one? Congratulations to Lockport's Jake Minnick. Saw this one in the Niagara Gazette. He won the Section 6 Boys Diving Championship, so that's pretty cool. Anything else for news and notes, Francis? Well, then let's to the G&G Fitness Player Coach of the Week. And if you want to nominate a coach, go to livefit.com. You guys have been sending in some really good nominations, and it's getting difficult picking these things. But if you want to nominate Coach of the Week, G&G Fitness Coach of the Week, livefit.com. Congratulations to Rick Hopkins, Williamsville girls hockey coach, who won a state title. Not only did they get the monkey off their back finally winning in Section 6, but to be able to go on and win a state. So that's 2 years in a row, West New York girls have won the state championship. It was a flop last year, and Williamsville this year. So congratulations to Rick Hopkins, our G&G Fitness Coach of the Week.
You know, and the other thing that makes this special, well, dude, I'm going to start off with Coach Hopkins. You know, this guy's a class act as they come. You know, I was talking to other coaches on Friday, last Friday before the game, and they were all happy for him. All, like the flop coach, Coach Kimmelwitz, Coach Miller from Kenmore, you know, they were all glad to see him there because this guy, he's one of a kind. He really cares about the sport, and, you know, they don't make him like Coach Hopkins. So congrats to him, and then they want the his team won the state championship, and not only did they win a state championship, they had to win 5 games in 6 days to do it. We've never asked even a pro team to do that. They play 3 days in a row, get 1 day off, and then you're playing your semis and championship game, and they did fantastic. 2 of the games went to overtime. Emma Rowland had a hat trick in the state semifinal. Ella Huntley had a hat trick in the state final. We actually just found out, this is from Matt Miller, the assistant chairman. Emma Rowland had the number one single most productive year in the history of girls fed hockey this season. So congrats to her. Unfortunately, on Thursday, Williamsville did fall in the Federation semifinals. For those who don't know, they have a second playoffs, which includes Monsignor Martin to come up with a league champion. So in the championship game, which will be next Sunday at the Harbor Center, will be flop against Lid. So congrats to them. Congrats to both those teams, but an amazing fleet for the for Williamsville. Just an amazing fleet by those girls. I can't imagine playing 5 games like that in 6 days. I couldn't even do that mentally, let alone physically.
That's a lot. It really is. So congratulations to them. They definitely earned it. I don't know if you guys saw in bowling, we had Tonawanda win in, was it Division II?
Yeah, so last year they start in bowling. They have a large school representative and a small school representative that go to states for both boys and girls. So Tonawanda won the small school for the boys.
And Orchard Park for the girls, I believe.
Orchard Park actually won both the boys and the girls.
Oh, okay, both.
Yeah.
Well, we knew, I mean, when we had Kaplan and Adventure, and they both said, Orchard Park was stacked, so they weren't kidding about that. And I guess Niagara Falls finished runner-up or something like that. So best of luck to our bowlers. Are they today have the state finals?
The state finals are going to be the weekend of March 8th through 10th. Do you want me to go through
sure.
the sectionals?
Yeah.
All right. So I put them all together. So Orchard Park won both boys and large. Nathan Ostrander had over 1,300 pins to lead Orchard Park. John Kurtzel had over 1,500 pins. That was the most for the day for the boys, as he led Tonawanda to their title. And then what they do, which I really think is really neat in bowling, is they have like team championships and they have individual. They have all stars,
right?
And the top three of the day who aren't on a team get to go, and then the next three are called pool bowlers, who earn that recognition by being one of the top two or three from their division. And as long, you know, and if they don't get the top three of the day, but they do the best out of everybody else, they still get a trip to state. So you're still being rewarded for your season's work. They get to go. So that's Dylan DeVoy from Iroquois, Dylan Andrew Anzalewski from Depew, Cameron Stark from JFK, Jordan King from Pioneer, Trevor McKee and Nathan Papernick from Niagara Falls. They are the boys' all-stars. The girls' all-stars are Sarah D'Angelo from Clarence. She had over 1,300 pins. That was the most of the day for the girls. Mackenzie Yeast from Frontier. Melissa Large from Tonawanda. Rachel Wagner from Depew. Cameron Spring from Allegheny Limestone. And Kaylin Weber from Kenmore East. The small school rep for the girls was Dunkirk with over 5,000 pins for the day. Olivia Colbert led the way with over 1,200.
Outstanding.
So congrats to those kids. When I was talking to Adventure yesterday, and I was thinking about how they put this all together, it's really perfect because they get to send so many kids to states who get that opportunity. It really rewards kids who are not only performing well at sectionals, but throughout the season as well.
States are held at Strike and Spare in Syracuse too, correct?
Yes, I believe.
Yeah, so that's a house that can hold with multiple bays that can hold such a championship format from them coming throughout the state.
Yeah, you need a big house, definitely. Where are we with boys hockey right now, Francis?
Well, the pre-quarterfinals for the small schools just wrapped up last night. We actually had a bunch of upsets in both of the days. We had Kenmore East. They were only a 13th seed. They knocked off the 4 seed Star Point 5-3. That was Thursday. We had Sweet Home, the 11th seed, knock off West Seneca East on Thursday. And then last night we had NT, who was the 12th seed, I believe, knock off Hamburg. They will compete in the quarterfinals on Sunday at the Harbor Center. That begins with 1:45 with Grand Island taking on Kenmore East. Today is the large school quarterfinals, followed by the Catholic school play-in. So we'll see Orchard Park will take on Lockport Niagara Falls, followed by Williamsville North Frontier, and then Niagara Wheatfield Clarence, and the Catholic school play-in game will be St. Francis and Bishop Tyman.
Is this the type of deal, you know, with the upsets that we talked about several weeks ago when we had did a show on hockey, is where you get that hot goalie and anything can happen when you get into the playoffs, and where you'll see a lower seed knock off a top seed?
That was part of it. I think also what happened was you had like NT. They actually beat Hamburg in the middle of the season as well, so they had the matchup there. And sometimes it's just when you go on your streak, everybody kind of had their own streak, or maybe they had one or two, and it, you know, kind of when you went on it and who you got. And Kenmore East came off kind of strong towards the end of the season, and they were on a big roll when they faced Starpoint, who's a very good team, and they were able to pull it out. They came out, they just jumped out to that 3-0 lead and kind of held on in the third period, and that's sometimes what you got to do in playoff hockey. You kind of let your emotions take over.
Tom, you got to love it when you get those streaks, and it just seems like no matter what sport, everything starts to click.
Or vice versa. You know, not only can it
click,
but
it
can just start going south on you at the same exact time. But when you're a coach or you're a player and it just all comes together with you, whether it's on the ice or on the basketball court or on the baseball field or on the football field, it's something special when it all comes together.
That thing called momentum, and you try to run it as long as you can. All right, guys, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll start fishing around in basketball, see where we are with that. As I said, CD meetings are going on right now. As Roger said earlier, there are several coin flips that will determine who's playing who and where. So we'll have all that and more. You're listening to Inside High School Sports on WGR Sports Radio 550. We're back. You're listening to Inside High School Sports. Tony Caligiuri here along with Tom Prince, Francis Beck from WNY Athletics, and Roger Weiss. All right, guys, CD meeting is going on right now, boys and girls basketball. Roger, you've already received a couple of updates from Brian Baker as to who's won various coin tosses. So you kind of get us lined up as to what this tournament's going to look like this year, who's playing who and where?
Okay, I'll start with the AA girls. Lockport won the Lockport won the flip with Jamestown, or Jamestown, well, now, no, I'm sorry. Jamestown won the flip with Clarence. Jamestown will now, they have to travel all the way to Lockport instead of only traveling just Will North. Mm-hmm. So that's, what, an extra 10 minutes maybe, Frank?
Well, north to Lockport. 15, 20, depending on traffic.
15, depending on how the bus is. Okay. 1-8 is Lancaster and Frontier. As I say, if Frontier doesn't win, call the FBI. Niagara Falls, the 7th seed at OP. The other two games in AA should be good matchups. Jamestown now, like I say, is going to Lockport, and Clarence going to Will North. It's a 3-6 and a 4-5. Anything could happen. Okay. Class A, Will East won the flip. I'm sorry, Hamburg won the flip with Will East, so they will play, Hamburg will play West Seneca East. The winner would go to Grand Island, which is the number one seed. Will East will play at West Seneca West. The winner will go to, will play the winner of the Hamburg West Seneca East game. Best of the matchups in there should be pretty, true to form for the most part, other than your traditional 4-5 and 3-6. Will South is the 2 seed. Grand Island is the 1 seed. I like Will South coming out of that category. If they bring anywhere near their A game, they're just too strong.
Well, if they're beating O'Hara, they would be strong.
They beat O'Hara last night. Grand Island was the number 1 seed, but that wasn't what I would consider a relatively weak Niagara Frontier League compared to
the ECIC. Plus, we knew Grand Island
was
playing very well at this point of the season.
Yes. Lydia Sweeney, if she's on, they could beat anybody. Class A2, that's where the war is. Lakeshore, the number 1 seed. Amherst, the number 2 seed. They should come out. Iroquois is the 5th seed. They play at Louport. The 4-5 game should be a good one. Whether either one of them could handle Lakeshore, that's doubtful. The 2-3, the upset I see in there is the 3-6 game. Emerson's the 3rd seed coming out of a weak Canisius Cup division in Buffalo, and their top player is out for the year.
Ooh.
So I look for Maryvale to win that game as the 6th seed, and then they would go against Amherst, which is the 2 seed, and it'll stop there.
Okay.
The others involved, Star Point and Chickawaga play the 8-9 game. The winner of that gets the luxury of having to go to Lakeshore, and that's going to be ouch. Class B1, City Honors is the top seed, East Aurora 2nd, Springville Griffin 3rd, Olean 4th. Take my word for it, Olean is the top team in that bracket. I was at their game at Iroquois the other night. Sarah Pfeiffer had an off night. She only threw in 44 that night, so,
Betcher, that's it. We can't have this.
Oh, she's mature, She was pretty feisty, and a lot of people didn't like her attitude 2 years ago and that. In my opinion, she's still got the swagger, but she also shows the maturity. And the big improvement on Sarah Pfeiffer from 2 years ago, it was all about Sarah Pfeiffer. Now she makes all of her teammates much better, a complete team player. And like I say, boy, if she's hot, she can kick them in.
Right.
Roger, is she getting Division I looks at all?
That seems to be one of the best-kept secrets. There was a lot of people that watched her as a freshman and a sophomore and kind of weren't crazy about her attitude and all that. And supposedly that's why Bonaventure – this is a rumor now. That they're not interested, but believe me, she could help Bonaventure, in my opinion.
Yeah, when you're hearing about a woman dropping 40 as a, an average game and have dropped 60 in a game already.
She did 63 2 weeks ago, 13 threes in addition to her 24 points. They're the 4th seed. Again, they would play City Honors, assuming City Honors would make it past the winner of the 8-9 game, which is Charter School of Applied Technology versus Alden. City Honors should win that game for the opportunity to play host Olean. And like I say, the 2-3 there is earlier in the year I said it would have been an interesting game, Springville Griffith at East Aurora. Springville Griffith has dropped off since the first of the year, and I'm not sure why. They weren't as good as impressive as they were in December. Class B2, Southwestern, another 4 seed. Eden is the number 1 seed. They will play the winner of Health Science and Burgard in the 8-9 game. Olmsted is the 3 seed. Assuming they knock off Cleve Hill, they will have to face Brian Baker's Wilson team. That would be an interesting game. I look for in that final and that one to eventually be Southwestern against Wilson.
Didn't Wilson lose to Allegheny yesterday?
Yes, and interestingly enough, assuming Allegheny wins their 7-10 game, they will go back to Wilson for the semi.
as Brian would be saying, I'm thinking of good vibrations.
Yeah. I'm just knowing that he might play Allegheny Limestone in the semis. May have went very vanilla last night.
Okay.
My guess.
Your guess.
But I still like Southwestern coming out of that division. And the Class B girls crossover would be Olean versus Southwestern, which would be a rubber match because they split during the regular season.
Okay.
Class C, Portville would have been in C1, but now I don't know how long these girls would be out there. Top two girls, the Weldy sisters, have always, and they didn't play in the game last night, is my understanding. They should get by Salamanca, and then in the semi would have to play the winner of Tapestry Charter versus Chautauqua Lake. If they're not 100%, I think Chautauqua Lake could give them a good game. Middle Early College and Falconer, like I say, if Portville gets healthy, they should win C1. C2, I like Maple Grove a lot. They would have to play Global Concepts in quarterfinals. And probably the winner of Holland-Randolph, which is a pick'em game in the semis. Frewsburg, the number two seeds. I just don't think Frewsburg, the number two, is anywhere near as strong as Maple Grove. Okay. I could be wrong. They have the Insilaco girl, who, if she's on with threes, look out. But other than that, I like Maple Grove. Class D, I saw Panama last night against Hamburg. They look real good. Forget about all the others. The final game would be number one Panama versus number two Franklinville. Danielle Haskell and Abby McCoy for Franklinville. Kaylee Shinars and Nick Angeletti for Panama. That is the game of the year in Class D, and I think the winner of that could go all the way.
For those who are interested in going to catch games, what are the dates of the playoffs?
Okay, they start the 22nd. Girls, semis, quarterfinals are either Thursday to February 21st, or in the Class AA, it would be Tuesday the 26th. Semis, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday the 26th, 27th, and 28th. Friday for the March 1st for the AAs. The finals for the Class C1, C2, and D will be Saturday, March 2nd at JCC. I may be playing Pohokee that day, Anthony, because the first game's at noon, and I really would like to be down there for this. But I will call in, I promise you that. The finals are at Buff State for Class B1, B2, A1, A2, Sunday, March 3rd. The AA final will be Wednesday, March 6th, along with the Class A crossover game, you know, A1, mm-hmm. A2, and B1, B2. That would be at Buff State. Again, that's Wednesday, March 6th. The regionals will be at Buff State Saturday, March 9th.
Awesome. Francis, let's get into the boys.
All right, well, we'll start in AA. It looks like we have most of the brackets done. Last I checked, B1 wasn't ready, but we'll check them in a moment. In AA, Williamsville North gets the one seed. They will take on Frontier in the first round. Clarence, the 4 seed, takes on Lockport. Jamestown earns the 3 seed. They will take on Orchard Park. And 2 seed Niagara Falls will host Lancaster. That will take place on February 22nd at the respective home schools of the higher seed. A1, the playing games, Hutch Tech takes on Grand Island. West Seneca West and Kenmore East. Williamsville East and Hamburg. And then Niagara Wheatfield, Kenmore West. Sweet Home takes the number one seed with a 12-8 record. Playing games are February 20th, and the quarterfinals are on February 23rd.
Did you say Sweet Home takes a number one seed with a 12-8 record?
It's 12-8 overall. You know,
12-8 overall, but they probably had a better league record. Plus, you got, you know, power points.
Your power points are only based on league games.
Yeah. Sweet Home's had a nice season. Kind of under the radar, but they really...
Tom, you saw them, right? Early in the season.
Yeah, they've got a center that is that's legit. We saw them early in the season to play, and he had a really... It's funny that we just talked about that record because he came out of the gates really slow because he had such a He played up in schedule is what he was doing. He was playing some of the heavyweights early. So obviously he's come on strong. You know, they've come on strong in the second half of the season. But listen, you can't teach height, and he's got a kid that is 6'8" in the middle that was very, very tough to guard. And if he really got better and better as the year gone, they were going to be somebody that you were going to deal with.
I said somebody was talking to me, you know, I said, Sweet Home is going to be a tough out when you get into the playoffs.
You know, listen, very rarely do we see the height of 6'8", you know, around here on a consistent basis.
Right.
So when you got it, you've got to, you know, go ahead and exploit it. I also, you know, you talked about the double A already. I mean, I don't know how Niagara Falls doesn't win that.
But well, they're playing shorthanded. They're missing their big guy, who they said they had, talking to Coach Sal last week, they had to shut him down for the season, foot injury, where his foot's just not responding. So he's kind of had to alter their game style and play, as he says, small ball.
Yeah, so I watched them also play, and they're guard heavy anyway. They're led by a freshman guard is what they're led by,
Lightfoot,
actually.
Yeah.
Lightfoot and Bradbury.
So you can see these two get on the floor. They are very guard heavy, lots of speed, will run the floor, you know, with the best of them. Now, it will be very interesting to see when Will North plays them, because Will North now will do the opposite. You would think try to slow that game a little bit and get the ball into the bigs, because they are very big underneath, and they could use that power and that size, you know, against the speed of Niagara Falls. So that's going to be an interesting game if it plays out as a 1-2.
Well, I'm sure they're looking at notes from Lou Port's win over Niagara Falls. Was it last night?
I'm going to tell you, and Ronnie Gale for Lou Port, I would think if it wasn't for Hutchison over at South Park right now, you may be talking about as a freshman for player of the year, because he is that legit.
You're jumping the gun on one thing, though. The 1-4 projected semi would be Clarence at Will North, and the 2-3, how's this for a semi? Jamestown at Niagara Falls at Buff State. So I wouldn't pencil in either one of them yet.
Dave. No.
And I'm going to tell you something. Watch out for Orchard Park there. I mean, granted, they're not the basketball powerhouse that you always hear about, but he runs a run-and-gun style offense that when it gets you get a couple of those shooters hot, they can play with Jamestown. They have been the last couple of years. You've seen that gap gets a little bit closer. And remember,
they have to go down to Jamestown.
And Jamestown always has that one kid that starts shooting threes all night.
Orchard Park went on the run last year to get to Buff State and shocked everybody, and was sitting at Buff State last year.
I never sell a Coach Drake team short.
Bingo. Yes. Bingo.
And listen, like I said, I love Coach Drake. What he's doing down there with that program is unbelievable. So
go ahead, Francis.
All right. So now we're going to go to A2 Amherst, earn the top seed, 17-3. The playing games are 8-9 West Seneca East Emerson, 5-12 South Park and Starpoint. Health Sciences is the 7 seed. We'll take on Pioneer, and Maryvale, number 8, will take on Lakeshore. Those are the play-in games. They will be on February 20th. Again, Amherst, the top seed. Loopport has the 2nd seed in the A2 bracket.
All right, let's take a break right here, and we'll pick up on after A2 when we come back from the break. Don't forget, Sports Talk Saturday follows us at 11. Keep it locked right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. We're back. One last segment of Inside High School Sports. We're going through the basketball seedings, and we left off at what?
We were on A2, and we were ready to go down to the B's. But
that's
I just
what I was
going to
say.
I mentioned in A2, right? We were done with the A2s.
Yes,
we not?
Yes.
But what I did want to mention, if Maryvale wins, they're the 6th seed. They have to go to Iroquois, assuming that the pre-quarters go true to form. If they win that game, they will play the semis at Buff State. Maryvale versus Amherst, Father Kenzie versus Son Kenzie.
You love that.
You
live for that
game.
The
post office dumps all his Kenzie mail at Buffalo State. It's going to be
a
problem.
Have family reunion there.
Well, they do that every time. So, but no, We could have a Chris Kenzie versus Mark Kenzie semifinal at Buff State.
When did we have that? A couple of years ago? 2 or 3 years ago, I think they met there.
I
want to
say 2 years ago, maybe three, yeah. Last year, I don't think
junior
Mark
got the
was
best
only
of them.
There as a spectator last year.
Okay.
They had a forwarder's mail from Buff State back to his other mailing address.
I'm sure it probably got lost. Go ahead, Francis.
All right. The B1 bracket is not yet available, so we'll go ahead to B2. Allegheny Limestone is the 1 seed. They went 16-2 this year. The playing games are 8 seed Akron will host Western New York Maritime Charter. Southwestern, a 5 seed, hosts Eden. Cleveland Hill, 7 seed, hosts Burgard. And then 6 seed John F. Kennedy hosts Roy Hart. The 2 seed is Mass Science Tech Prep. The 3rd seed is Olmsted. And the 4th seed is Wilson. Again, playing games are February 20th. Quarterfinals are the 23rd at the home schools. Go ahead to the C1 bracket. Number 1 seed, Middle Early College. They went 16-4. There's only one playing game in the C1. That's Portville hosting Cattaraugus Little Valley for the right to play Middle Early College. 4 seed is Silver Creek. They'll take on Chautauqua Lake. Number 2 seed is Buffalo East. They'll take on the Buffalo Academy of Science. And number 3, Tapestry, will take on Salamanca. Playing game is February 20th. The quarterfinals are the 22nd.
Watch out for Starling Bryan Stephens.
I was going to say number 1 Middle College versus number 2 Buffalo East. That would be a projected final. That would be a war.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. In C2, number 1 seed Ellicottville went 13-7 this year. The playing game will be Casadega Valley against Maple Grove for the right to face Ellicottville. The other playing game is Riverside against City Honors. I'm sorry, Riverside against Barker for the right to play the number 2 seed Randolph. The 3 seed is Holland. 4 seed is Westfield. Westfield will play Bennett, the 5 seed, and then the 6 seed is Frewsburg. And finally, Class D, we have the number 1 seed is Franklinville, going 10-10 this year. Sherman and Forrester will battle to take them on in the semis. Climber, number 3, will take on Pine Valley to make it to the semis. Then Panama will take on North Collins in the other quarterfinal. Play-in games are February 22nd. Semis, which is just going to go from play-in to semis. Semis are the 26th. That'll be at Jamestown Community College.
Talking about Franklinville, the number 1 seed, we always talk about the girls, and Danielle Haskell is a junior. Well, she's got a brother who's a freshman who's throwing in about somewhere between 25 and 30 points a game.
Wow, nice. And the Bees, because you didn't want to get through that, but what games were we still waiting to hear for flips to determine who's who?
It's the B1 bracket is not available on the site. I don't know the exact teams. I don't know if Roger has that. But
I have some. The only thing is I was waiting for the result of the Olean Lackawanna coin flip. They're 2-3. I don't see them losing in the quarters or the pre-quarters for that matter. So the only difference there, well, that would be a semifinal game anyway, so it doesn't even matter where. I would project Olean Lackawanna in 1 semi. Medina's the top seed. Now, that's where it could get interesting. Medina's the top seed based on their prowess in the Niagara Orleans League, which is not that strong. They would have to go up against the winner of the DePue-Fredonia game. That's where you might see an 8 or 9 seed upset of number 1. I'm not saying I don't know that much about either team other than the fact that the Niagara-Orleans League isn't all that strong.
If I'm not mistaken, I think Center Court had tweeted he expects Olean to go all undefeated to the state championship.
I'm not familiar with the B schools from Section 5, therefore, if Center Court... He is, believe me.
He would have been here today, by the way, but his young ones aren't feeling well, so he's home taking care of them, and hopefully they're
kids. Well, those young ones did a marvelous job last week. without his wife and his two daughters, they couldn't have pulled off what they did at Villa Maria in that center court classic. So my hat's off to the entire family.
And one thing I forgot to mention when I was talking to Sal Cassatino, Niagara Falls coach, is that Rochester is going to be very strong come, when Section 6 plays Section 5. Whoever represents Section 6 is going to have their hands full.
I just got a tweet from Larry Jones. Lackawanna won the coin flip with Olean, so Lackawanna will be the number two, and they will probably take on East Aurora in the quarters. And Olean will take on Newfane, which, again, Olean's the team to beat.
And it's at Olean.
Well, the quarterfinal would be at Olean. Semis are at Buff State.
Right, okay.
Just to clear it up, boys, semis, and finals are at Buff State. With the girls, only the finals at Buff State. The girls' semis are either at Kenmore West or, in fact, the double A's, I think, the A's would be probably at Clarence because A school cannot hold an A semi.
And A2
at Kenmore West, A1 at Clarence, B2 at Kenmore West.
Yeah. Most of them are at Ken West.
I didn't see the schools who are not participating or schools who opted out for the boys, but I did see a few schools opted out for the girls. I think South Park was one of them. Do you guys believe in opting out, or do you think they should play? I mean, I understand reasoning, for travel, competitiveness, and things like that.
Well, we were complaining early on in the season. We had one team that lost, 90-10 in that range. It was a really bad score. You don't want to go there to be embarrassed either, right? And then
what if they don't want to travel? What if they have to go down to the Southern Tier, a 2.5-hour bus ride to lose by let's be nice about it and say 75 points. Right.
So you don't get anything out of it, with the extra practice or stuff like that to help your underclassmen? Do you see any benefit in that at all, Tom?
I do, but I also, to me personally, I would leave that up to my team.
Okay.
And again, if I was there and I'm knowing that I'm going to drive 2.5 hours to get beat by 75,
I won't be too enthused.
Exactly. And if I'm a kid on that team, I may decide that, maybe we should forego.
I hear that. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us. Thanks to Derek Kramer for producing. And basically, what we're going to do is the next several weeks keep you up to date as to the playoffs and where we are and what teams are moving on. So we'll have all that and more. Keep it locked right here on WGR Sports Radio 550 Sports Talk. Saturday is coming up next. So keep it right here, WGR Sports Radio 550.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.